Hello, welcome to Morning Manna. May the 9th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today. We're grateful for all that you continue to do for us and how you teach. We ask that you would give us an understanding of the truth that you have for us, so that we might walk according to your will in all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our subject for today is the miracles of Christ. And we are looking at the book, Bible Readings for the Home Circle. And of course, published in 1889. Today, May the 9th, the subject, the miracles of Christ. What testimony did the chief priests and Pharisees bear concerning Christ's work? John 11 and verse 47 says, "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." By what did Peter on the day of Pentecost say that Christ had been approved by God? Acts 2 and verse 22 says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Question: by what means did Christ claim to cast out devils? Luke 11 and verse 20 says, "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." And of course, you know, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28 also says, "By the Spirit of God." Note that under the third plague in Egypt, that of turning the dust into lice, the magicians, failing to duplicate it, said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." And of course, you'll find that story in Acts chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. Question: upon what ground did Nicodemus rest his belief that Christ was a teacher from God? John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Question: after the healing of the blind man, upon what charge did some of the Pharisees seek to prove that Christ was not of God? John chapter 9 and verse 16, the first part says, "Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Notice this was a false charge. Christ did keep the Sabbath, but not according to the Pharisees' idea of Sabbath keeping. Question: what question did others raise in opposition to this view? John 19 and verse 16, the last part says, "Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them." What was the result of Christ working miracles at his first Passover? John 2 and verse 23 says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." Question: what question did the performing of these miracles lead many to ask? John 7 and verse 31 says, "And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" Why were many attracted to Christ? John 6 and verse 2 says, "A great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased." Notice, a miracle is the display of divine or superhuman power in some unusual or extraordinary manner. Hence, its nature to attract attention. Christ fed the 5,000 with the multiplied loaves and fishes, and all men wondered. Every day, God feeds millions of humanity with the multiplied fruits of the earth, and no one marvels. Christ, by a shortened process, changed water into wine, and everybody was astonished. But every year God does this in the same unusual way. Through the vine, he also limitless quantities, and no one is astonished. A divine miracle, therefore, whenever performed, is wrought to heal and to save, and to call attention to the source of divine power. Question. What did the people say when they saw these things? Mark chapter 7 and verse 37 says, "He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." What kinds of diseases and sicknesses did Jesus cure? Matthew 4 and verse 23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." Question. Who were brought to him for healing? Matthew 4, and of course verse 24 says, "And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." Question. To the woman who had been healed by touching his garment, what did Christ say made her whole? Matthew 9 and verse 22 says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." What did he say to the two blind men as he healed them? Matthew 9 and verse 29 says, "According to your faith be it unto you." To another whose sight he had restored, what did Christ say? Luke 18 and verse 42 says, "Thy faith has saved thee." Question. Why did not Christ work many miracles in his own country? Matthew 13 and verse 58 says, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." What lesson did Christ design to teach in healing the man sick of the palsy? Luke 5 and verse 24 says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house." Notice by his miracles, therefore, Christ designed to teach faith in the power of God, not only to restore the body, but to heal the soul. Question, what effect did Christ's miracles have upon the individuals restored and the people who witnessed them? Luke 18 and verse 43 says, "And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." Question. What message did Christ send to John the Baptist while John was in prison to strengthen his wavering faith? Matthew 11 and verse 4 through 6 says, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." In what miracle did Christ bring to a climax his works on earth? John 11, verse 43 and 44 says, "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, Loose him and let him go." Question. What was the result of this great miracle? Notice in verse 45 of John 11, it says, than many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Because of the interest which this miracle created in him, what did the Pharisees say? John 12 and verse 19 says, "Behold, the world is gone after him." What did Jesus present to the people as a basis of confidence in him? John 10 verses 37 and 38 says, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." And of course, you find that also in John 14 and verse 11. Question: did Jesus ever make use of ordinary means in performing miracles? John chapter 9 verses 6 and 7 says, "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. "He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing." You can also find that in Mark chapter 7 verses 33 through 35. Question: why were the miracles of Christ recorded by the inspired writers? John 20 and verses 30 and 31 says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." In the book Selected Messages, book 1, beginning at page 19, it says this: "There is not always perfect order or apparent unity in the scriptures. The miracles of Christ are not given in exact order, but are given just as the circumstances occurred, which called for this divine revealing of the power of Christ. The truths of the Bible are as pearls hidden. They must be searched, dug out by painstaking effort. Those who take only a surface view of the scriptures will, with their superficial knowledge, which they think is very deep, talk of the contradictions of the Bible and question the authority of the scriptures. But those whose hearts are in harmony with truth and duty will search the scriptures with a heart prepared to receive divine impressions." And of course, that is Selected Messages, book 1, pages 19 and 20. In Review and Herald, January the 21st, 1873, beginning at paragraph 16, it says, "The angel of God, the angels of God, are ever moving up and down from earth to heaven and from heaven to earth. All the miracles of Christ performed for the afflicted and suffering were, by the power of God, through the ministration of angels. Christ condescended to take humanity, and thus he unites his interest with the fallen sons and daughters of Adam here below, while his divinity grasps the throne of God. And thus Christ opens the communication of man with God, and God with man. All the blessings from God to man are through the ministration of holy angels. The power of the gospel and the power of the work that Christ did on this earth stands out as a tremendous witness to us today. We need to know that we can trust him. We need to know that we can follow him. We need to know that we can ask him and that we will receive. As a matter of fact, God has promised to do for us more than we can ever imagine. Too often we pray and ask for something that we do not immediately get, and we tend to be very irritated by that, expecting that the miracle will happen immediately, not realizing that sometimes God wants to give us something even more important than the one thing that we've asked for. He seeks to deliver to us something that is much better for us than that which we think we need. One of the things that we need to practice and understand carefully is faith. But the other thing we need is patience. God has promised to deliver that which we ask for in sincerity. But we must be willing to be patient and allow Him to do that which needs to be done at His speed. In fact, quite often, He allows us to be tested to see how great our faith is. Are we willing to wait? Are we willing to trust Him? Do we actually embrace that text which says faith is the substance? If we are impatient, then our faith is not substance, but rather some sort of looking for a reaction. What God wants from us today is the kind of faith that we can trust on. If God says He's going to do something and we ask Him to do it, then we must be able to demonstrate that we do trust Him enough so that He might indeed fulfill His promise. Especially in the matter of healing. Patience is an important issue. So often we read the miracles of the Bible, and those miracles, those three miracles especially, which demonstrate the healing of the sick or raising of the dead even in some cases. Not realizing that those people, some of those people who were healed had been sick for a while. Patience was an important part. The man who was waiting by the pool had been there for a while. The woman with the issue of blood had been sick for a while. She'd been longing to be healed. She hadn't really asked Christ to do it in the first place. But then, when the time came, she didn't even have a conversation with Him. All she did is reached out and touched the hem of His garment. And the issue of blood ceased immediately. She was determined. Do you have that kind of determination? Are you being challenged by a medical issue? Is your life stymied in some way because you have an underlying condition, as is referred to today in the medical field? Trust God. Have faith in Him. Ask Him not only to give you patience, but ask Him to give you, not only to give you faith, but ask Him to give you patience. That as you talk with Him and you plead with Him, you will believe in Him and prove Him. The day God seeks to fix those things in our lives that need to be fixed. Perhaps the reason why we are not healed immediately is because we've only started praying since we've been sick. And our prayers are consistent and often. Perhaps we need to develop that as another attitude, as another habit, a habit of prayer. And do you know that when you develop the habit of prayer, what you're actually doing is developing a relationship with God, talking to Him daily, talking to Him more than once a day. And He is able to restore and reply to you. Not necessarily with regard to the requests that you're asking. But have you noticed that the more you pray to Him, there are other things in your life that are being changed? No, the healing might not come immediately, but there are other parts of your being, other parts of your habits that are being removed. Your character is being upgraded, and your entire life is being changed for the better. So that while you're waiting on the healing of the body, the healing of the soul is taking place. And the power of heaven is being poured out upon you. So that your entire life is being transformed. Notice that what God is doing here, He's doing for you more than you asked. And yet, what He's doing for you is so important. So today, God is giving you another opportunity to come to Him to ask for the kind of healing that you need. you might be able to identify the underlying condition in your life, the physical deformity or whatever it might be. And you might recognize that this is something you need to talk to God about. God recognizes that. But he also recognizes an underlying condition in your soul, in your heart, in your character that needs to be restored, that needs to be upgraded. And he has already begun to work on that. So today, as you come with your faith, ask God to give you patience also, so that you might walk according to his will and be willing to trust him implicitly, knowing that he will indeed do that which he has promised to do. In other words, prove him today. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you promised. We thank you for the opportunities that you've made available to us. And today, we ask that you would give us the strength that is necessary so that we will add patience to our faith and trust you implicitly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, May the 9th, 2021.